You know, it's amazing how much we can accomplish just by praising and worshiping the Lord. And how many things that He will accomplish in us by simply that. You know, by just having time of fellowship in the Spirit and singing, making melody in our hearts to the Lord, you know. I mean, demons flee, you know, troubles vanish in the presence of the Almighty God, you know. And so it's not always about having to do a thing as much as it is abiding in a person, you know. If we're abiding in Him, then we will do the things of Him, amen, but not for Him, but with Him. You know, we're walking with God, amen? We're not just working for God. A slave will work for a master, but a son walks with his father, amen? And that's what we get to do, is walk with our Father, made possible by the blood of Jesus, who's brought us into this union, this fellowship of the Spirit, and whoa, how to... What a joy it is. What a joy. God has set us free, and we have to continue to walk in that freedom. And this kind of freedom we're talking about is a responsible freedom, isn't it? Amen. Because there is a law, but the law is now written in our hearts by the Spirit. And again, you love God. What's the greatest commandment of all? To love God, right? Right. With all that's within you, right? All you have. So loving God. Well, I've said it before, folks, but you cannot love a God who you don't know. And you cannot love a God who is not lovely or lovable. So sometimes, you know, we've got a concept of God that does not agree with who He really is. And therefore, we struggle with this loving God thing, because if your God is not really love, agape, then or if our conception of God is twisted or warped from possible our experiences in life with people who have maybe been parents or people we've known, you know, in our past, authorities in our lives, sometimes we have a warped view of who God is. And so we'd have a difficult time trusting God, because often our experiences in life have told us not to trust. Not to trust. How many have ever said, don't trust anyone? At least once, right? You've had a bad experience with somebody and you said, don't trust anyone. Yeah, and some of us have clung on to that and said, I'm not trusting anybody anymore. You know, often that bleeds over also towards the Lord, doesn't it? Where we're not trusting Him either. Because all we've known is rejection or betrayal. And so we don't want to be hurt. So we put these walls up to protect ourselves. But how many know that God can get through that wall? And He would never hurt you. That's not His heart. He'll discipline you in that sense. But whatever God does, as far as discipline goes, it's always redemptive. It's always for the purpose of building up. Amen? Sometimes you need a good spanking, amen, to get a wake-up call. But God does that out of love for us so that He can do what? So He can lift us back up. In humility, we are lifted up, you see. When we're prideful and arrogant, we don't have need of God, or nobody's going to tell us what to do. I'm my own God. And God says, okay, we'll see how far that goes. It kind of sounds like a little bit like, even though Peter didn't realize it at the time, he was really full of Peter. And you know, we're no different than Peter, so let's not judge Peter, all right? But how many of us have struggled with the same things? We've just thought, man, we're going to take the world for Jesus. We're going to do all this stuff and for God. And God has to get us over ourselves before we can be of any use. And so God will allow us to be sifted. He will allow us to go through some stuff to bring us to a point where we say, you know what? I better not trust my own judgments anymore. I better not trust myself anymore. You know, I really need to trust Him now. And I find that God doesn't fail. He doesn't fail. We fail, but He doesn't. And so I want to follow someone like him. Amen. I want to follow someone who is perfect. And if you want to see a perfect man, look at Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Lord. He was the only perfect one. You know, that's who I want to be like when I grow up. I want to be like Jesus. I'm still growing up. How about you? We're becoming more and more like him all the time. But we want to be like the one that we love and admire the most. We look at he is a picture of perfection. But folks, let me just help you out a little bit here. When we talk about perfection, I'm not talking about you striving for perfection. That's bondage. That's works. It's you coming to a realization of your identity, who you are in Christ, that liberates you from all the falsehoods and all the lies and all the performance things the enemy has thrown upon us to get us to try to perform to a level that, well, we don't know where that level ever ends, do we? When do I actually reach the place where I've been perfected? Well, your perfection is not going to be something that you achieve, but something you receive by faith. He makes me perfect. I am complete in him. Complete. You know what that word means in the Greek? Complete. Complete. Total. So, you know, when we abide in him, we're off the hook of performance and legalism and striving and struggling and working so hard to make God happy and love me. But when you just connect with Jesus in the Spirit, true worshipers connect with him where? In the Spirit. They will worship the Father in spirit and in truth and reality. Truth is authenticity, right? It's what's real. You'll know what's real. What is really real? And then you'll be free from all the lies that you've been fed through all your life. And it's the truth of God's word. His word is enduring forever. Amen. That's why we need to know what is written so that we may know him who is living. We need to know what is written so we may know him who is living. We need to know him. That's life. Hallelujah. And then people say, hey, there's something different about you. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Aren't these just a couple rough and tumble fishermen? But they took note of Peter and John, wasn't it? Because they had been with Jesus. This is where it is. This is where it begins and this is where it ends, in Christ. Amen. Anything outside of that is just fluff. It's wood, hay, and stubble. It's, in a lot of ways, even illegal. But we've got to be in him. And when we're not, and we don't yield those areas to him, then we give license to our adversary. We say, hey, come on in and mess me up. I mean, how ridiculous that would be, right? But that's what we do when we yield to temptation. We give permission for the enemy to mess us up. Anyways, well, the devil is constantly trying to keep you and I away from the revelation of who we are in Christ. He doesn't want you to know what you are actually capable of doing in Christ. He doesn't want you to know your potential in him. And he wants you and I to look at our current situation or our failures or our shortcomings and accept them as just the way it's always going to have to be for you. He wants you to get comfortable in oppression. He wants you just to resolve that I'm just going to have to be depressed and bummed out and unfruitful and defeated and rejected and no good. He wants you to believe the lie. The very lie that he presents to you, he wants you to accept that as your truth. And if you believe the lie and accept it as your truth, you are what's called deceived. You're deceived. So God gives us truth. He gives us the light of His Word by the Spirit delivered to open our understanding, our ability to see clearly who He really is, His true identity, the true living God, and who we are as sons and daughters. If I realize that I'm a son, then I will walk and live as a son. If I believe I'm simply just a slave that has to work for God, are you hearing me today? Then I will live like a slave, constantly trying to please. Jesus told His disciples, "You're no longer servants. I want to call you now what? Friends. Friendship with God." This should be our goal, and that really means entering into a place of rest with Him, where we cease from our own works. And you'll find that when you're in rest, you will be motivated, you will be stimulated, you will be, your zeal will be inspired by the love of God to serve Him. But not as a means of justification, but out of gratitude for Him and all He's done in your life. So we serve Him out of love and appreciation rather than as a means of being right. How many have ever been in a relationship where you're always trying to please the other person? It might have been a man or a woman or a parent, where you're always trying to please and never quite making the grade. Never getting there, never quite reaching that point. Is there freedom in that? No. This is what the Father wants us to know, is that it was His idea to send Jesus. It was His idea to redeem us. It was His idea for you and I to become sons and daughters, to be part of His family. God wants you and I as His family. It wasn't my idea. I didn't even care. I didn't know I was lost until God revealed that to me. But it was His love that reached out to you and I first. And that's why we can say I love Jesus, because He first loved me. You have to know His love. You have to know that He is lovable, lovely, to love Him. So you have to know who He really is. Because if we feel that God is a hard taskmaster, you hear me, with just a whip up there, it wants to take away your joy and make you miserable. And you know, the devil, what he does is he impersonates, and he does a bad job at it. But if we don't know the true Jesus, we can be bowing down to another Jesus altogether. So this thing about sin, you know, we all hate that. Amen. Everybody here hates sin. If you don't, you got to get saved. Seriously. If you hate sin, that's a good thing. Because it's God's Spirit in you, amen, that detests sin. So this victory over sin, folks, is not you and I just working harder to overcome sin. Because it's not by might nor power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There's freedom. I'm not in bondage to the law of commandments that were written against me, that condemned me, that made me guilty and ashamed. And the law is good and it's perfect, and it is necessary for the sinner to realize that they are indeed a sinner and they are separated from God. But the law was the schoolmaster to bring me to Christ. And Jesus Christ, amen, has taken those things that were written against us and nailed them to the cross. The handwriting of ordinances. Paid in full and you and I come in to relationship and we put on His righteousness. And people who are still in legalism will probably oppose you. And they'll want to put you in bondage. Because misery loves what? Company. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have peace in your heart with God today? Do you really have that peace? You got to get over you and get into Him. Quit trying to be your own Savior and trust Him as your Savior. Get over yourself. Quit focusing on you and start focusing on Him. Because you will become like the one you behold. If you're just constantly filling your mind through the eye gate of Hollywood and all the garbage that there's in the world, that's what you become like. Isn't it interesting how people who idolize certain celebrities and singers, and you know, they start acting like, dressing like, the girls are putting their makeup, doing their hair like so-and-so, and you know, because they're beholding this. And in a sense, there's worship going on towards that person. They are idolizing. Literally, they call them idols or divas. Worshipping man. Oh, holy. Thank you, Lord. But I want to be like Jesus. And I don't want to just act like a Christian. You know? That's performance. That's law. That's legalism. Well, I got to be a nice Christian today because I'm going to church. Well, how is it on Monday? You know, how's it going, brother? Oh, great, man. Praise the Lord. Just had a fight with my wife on the way in, but it was. God wants us to be ourselves, to relax, be authentic, be real. Just get real. Turn to your neighbor and say, just get real. Yeah. You know, if we love each other, then we don't do anything to cause someone else to stumble, right? I behave myself, not only because I know I'm going to answer to the Lord for it, but I behave myself because I don't want to be a bad influence on you. That's loving one another. Amen? You know, if the devil can defeat you in your mind, then he can defeat you in your life. And that's what he goes after, doesn't he? He goes after our thoughts and our minds. And one way he does this is by magnifying evil. Isn't it interesting how the media today will take one person's perspective, okay, or maybe even a small minority of the population's perspective on something. Some of you know where I'm going already. And all you hear is that perspective over and over on all the news networks. And after a while, if you're watching and listening to that all the time, you start to believe that everybody thinks that way. Wow. So what the devil does is he magnifies himself. I remember listening to Reinhard Bonnke one time. Some of you heard this, but he got it back after a meeting. They were casting out devils all night long. And he got back to his room and he said, it was a dark room, and he walked in there and he started to shudder, and he just felt this evil, you know, and he was grasping for the switch, you know. Finally, he gets the light switch on, and he says, and there it was in the corner, a mouse with a megaphone. You know, I think about that illustration of what the devil does is he wants, instead of us magnifying the Lord, he wants us to magnify evil. and make it big. Because if in your mind you have magnified it, then you become a servant to that which you magnify. You will submit yourself to the thing that you fear. Peer pressure. You'll submit yourself to what the group is doing if you fear man. If man has magnified himself bigger than your God, then you will end up compromising. We've cast a demon out of a girl one time, and afterwards she says, "You know, I thought the devil had me convinced that he was more powerful than God." And that's why she started to worship him. And that's exactly what the devil's still trying to do today. There's nothing new under the sun. He's always tried to get people to be wowed by his little parlor tricks and things he does. So they'll go after him, and he's always trying to make... It's like the cat, you know. You know? It's no match for that big dog coming after it, but it has to puff itself up to make it look big. And if the dog believes that, then the dog will submit. So the devil wants you to be afraid of him. The devil wants you to fear your sin, or that besetting sin, or that issue in your life that you're trying to overcome. He wants to magnify that addiction. He wants to magnify that pornography problem, whatever it might be. He wants to magnify it in your mind so that you will begin to bow to it. In other words, instead of your God being bigger than the problem, he wants to magnify the problem. So then in your mind, it's bigger than your God. And you're no longer in faith. And you're putting your faith in the wrong place. And whenever you start to put your faith in the wrong place, you will attract something into your life that you don't like. It'll actually bring more problems. I want to read a little bit from Judges chapter 6 today. I want to just to touch a little bit on Gideon. Israel had been oppressed by Midian for years. And they became discouraged. And they became defeated in their minds. However, you know, God, first of all, he does not want his people to be discouraged, defeated, depressed. He doesn't want his people to be fearful. He wants his people to have full confidence in life because they're in him, who is not plagued by fear, not controlled by it. So here, and look at verse 1 of Judges chapter 6. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. Now, what happened here? Israel did evil. They disobeyed the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian, or their enemies, for 7 years. Now, how many know that your willful disobedience is a green light for your enemy to mess you up? So the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. Because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made for themselves the dens, the caves, the strongholds which are in the mountains. In other words, because of the oppression of their enemy, they went into hiding. When you and I are being oppressed by our adversary, as a Christian, as a believer, we will go into hiding. You get it? We will shut down. We will disappear into the cave of self-protectionism, if you will. Because of fear of the enemy. Yeah. Been there? Turn to your neighbor and say, "You've been there, you've been there too." Tell your neighbor you're not going to stay there though. So we've all gone into the cave, into the den, into the hiding place. And why? Because of oppression. And often that oppression was a result. Come on, let's not look so sanctified today. Because we did something we shouldn't have. We opened a door somewhere. Do you know, we can protect ourselves from the enemy where he can't touch us. Simply by not yielding to him. But all of us at times, we have weak moments, we fail, we make mistakes, and the enemy simply wants to get his foot in the door to begin to oppress you, to press you down, to get you into fear. Because fear is the opposite of faith, and the just shall live by faith. So if we're in fear, we can't be in faith, and if we're not in faith, we cannot please God. We will end up shutting ourselves down or being in this place, again, of self-protectionism. This sometimes we call it the shell. We go into our shell like a turtle. So it was, verse 3, whenever Israel had sown, you know, planted seeds, Midianites would come up also, Amalekites and the people of the east would come up against them. Ever felt like your seed was being stolen? Then they would camp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza and leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor donkey. What did Jesus say about the devil? He came to rob, kill, right? Yeah. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents, coming in as numerous as locusts. Both they and their camels were without number, and they would enter the land to destroy it. Folks, today, there's nothing new under the sun. Amen. These things were written down for our admonition. So we can look at these and see a type, if you will, of spiritual warfare, of what goes on, and the results of disobeying the voice of God, giving permission to your adversary to oppress, not only to oppress, but also to steal your seed, to steal your produce, because he's a thief and he wants to rob God's people. And so we need to learn from the examples of history or we'll end up repeating them. Amen. How many would agree with me today that this is where America has been? We have been so oppressed. No, we haven't had foreign nations in a sense coming in, but yeah, they're here too. But you know what I'm talking about? We've been oppressed by the fruit of our own doings. We have been rebellious against God. And because of that, we have allowed the enemy to infiltrate the camp. And now we are faced with a dilemma in every echelon of government because of compromise. God is calling you and I to a walk of no compromise with the devil. Give no place to the devil. No deals, no bargains, no little side benefits, nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Because it's no different than you giving an enemy permission, someone that you know is out to destroy you, and giving them the key to the front door. Hey, make yourself at home. Now, wouldn't that be ridiculous, right? Somebody you knew was an enemy and that person would destroy you, and yet you give them the key to the front door. It may not even be a front door. It may be a side door. Well, nobody knew about the front door, but now, how ridiculous that would be. And yet, that's exactly what we do when we yield to temptation. That's exactly what we do when we hear that voice that we know God says, no, that's not my voice. You don't want to go there. You don't want to listen to that. But then he comes like the salesman does, you know, and he gets his foot in the door. Then you feel obligated. Well, he's already got his foot in the door. I might as well just let him in. I was in sales for a short time. That's what they told us to do. You got to get your foot in the door. A few black eyes later, I learned not to do that, but no. But the enemy wants to get into your camp. He wants to get into your house. He wants to get into your life. And he'll do that by working some deal with you. He says, I tell you what, I'll do this for you. I'll give you this momentary pleasure if you just bow down and worship me. Yea, hath God said, did God really mean it? When he says, you shall not eat of that tree. God's holding out on you. God's not good. What I have to offer you is so much better. You'll be your own God, knowing both good and evil. We were created for him. It is dysfunctional for a human being to live independent of their creator because we were made for him. And so the enemy wants to get into your life because I've said it before, but the only way the devil can really touch God, he just can't come into the throne room and touch God. But he can touch God through you and me by getting us to listen to him. And then once he gets permission, he comes in and he begins to oppress and he begins to steal. And before you know it, there are numerous enemies in your heart and your life and your head is messed up. And folks, it can lead to insanity. But Jesus came to set the captive free. And you don't have to be bound anymore. Today in the church, there's a lot of oppression. Hopefully not in our church, but in the church, I think there is a lot of oppression. A lot of fearful, shut down, gagged Christians afraid to speak up, speak the truth. Because the enemy has convinced him that he's bigger than God is. And because of compromise with sin, we've become fearful and now we're hiding out. And we're hiding out often right in the light. As was it Keith Green had a song? Sleeping in the Light, was it? And so we come into our churches and we do our little religious thing, our little church thing, you know. But oh, God forbid that I should have to get out there. You know, out there. I kind of like it in the little cozy cave. But to get out there, it's like the disciples in the boat, you know. They're all shaking in their knees and they're in the boat and there's a storm, you know. And here comes, looks like a ghost walking on the water. Who knows? I like Peter. I don't care what people say about Peter. At least he got out, right, Petros? He'll get out of the boat. But get out of that water. Get out on that water where Jesus is at. But folks, security is where Jesus is. Safety is where Jesus is. God will be where he told you to be. And where he told you and I to be is with him. So if he's in the camp, hang out in the camp. If he says we're going out here on the sidewalk, if Jesus is on the sidewalk, that's where we need to be. Because your confidence is not going to be in you trying to protect yourself. That's bondage. But being with Jesus gives you great confidence. Okay, let's have a little quiz here. When we were kids, you know, for a while there, I was a little guy on the playground, you know. So those little guys, they had to kind of be smart, you know. But I didn't have that either, so I was really in trouble. But we had to, you know, we had to survive out there. Man, the playground can be a bad place, you know. I'm just talking about survival on the playground, you know. Forget about the monkey bars, right? They don't have those anymore. But, you know, we'd look for somebody. You know, the bigger kid. The bigger kid that's, you know, I'll get on his side. I'll be the little toady out front, sorry, as long as I got Bubba here backing me up, you know. He ain't very bright, but he's big. No offense, Bubba, if you're here, but, you know. But this is the way it is. We have a confidence when we're with so-and-so. You get it? But if you're out on your own and so-and-so's not there, it's a different story. You're like, you know, evading, taking a different route around. Some of you know what I'm talking about. It's an awful place to be. It's a terrible place to be. To live in fear is such bondage, is tormenting. It's tormenting. But if you've been with Jesus, you're in the camp with Jesus, you're holding close to Jesus, Jesus is in the boat, we're with Jesus. Jesus gets out of the boat, we're with Jesus. Amen? Jesus is in the marketplace, we're with Jesus. Lord, I'm not letting you go. I want to stay close to you as possible because in your presence is security. Amen. It's called the secret place of the Most High. Whew. Clothed, surrounded, amen, with Him. And God says, come, you're stressed out. All you who labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Man, get over it. The fear, you know, be free. There's no fear in me. Come. Come to my heart, you know. God the Father invites us into His bosom where we can rest, be at peace. Oh, I remember the paranoia, you know, in days old, you know. The paranoia of, just like, was it Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young, looking in the mirror and seeing a police car? That was me one time, and I was just paranoid, man. I was going to get pulled over and get busted. And then Jesus set me free. And now I can shake hands with the police, you know. High five them and say, thank you for your service, and I'm over it. That's the confidence God wants us to have, and it's only found in one place, and that is in Him. Amen. Be gluttons for His presence. Be hungry. Stay in that place of desperation and knowing that your life is not in the things that you do, but your life is in Him. And out of that walk with Him, fruitfulness will abound. Why? Because it's not the fruit of you, but the fruit of His Spirit out of your life. And so God's love will be shed abroad in your heart because you have given Him capacity. You've given Him that place where He can come in and He can have a seat in the living room. Lord, you want to be in the kitchen? You know, you can check out the basement and the closet too because there are no secrets here. You are my invited guest into every area of my life and I want you to fill it. Amen. And whenever Jesus shows up and He steps into the room, those demons are just like rats, you know, or like cockroaches that like being in Georgia and turning the light on, you know, in the middle of the night. Man, I never knew they were there until you wake up in the middle of the night, turn the light on and they go scurrying. But God wants you and I to walk in freedom and in peace, to depend on His grace. And get over ourselves. Don't focus on you anymore. Let Jesus be the center of it all. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. That means my way is the wide way, right? His way is the right way. It's the narrow way. It's a confined way. And there's few that find it. But folks, if we just keep our eyes on Jesus, we're going to make it. Amen? We're going to overcome. Would you stand? God bless you. Thank you, God. Lord, thank you for my family. Thank you for the body of Christ. Lord, you deserve the glory. It's because of you that we can be here today and receive, Lord, from you and be healed by you, to be restored by you, to be granted a new beginning, a fresh start. I want to encourage you, brother and sister, today that today is a fresh start for you. It's a new beginning. You can't go back and redeem yesterday, but you can begin today. Even as you walk out of this place today, know that God is with you. God is for you. He's not against you. Hook up with Jesus. Enjoy the journey. Jesus came that we might have life. And what? That's an overflowing life. And He is our life. So God, I just ask You to impart Your shalom, Your peace, completeness, God, in every heart here. God, watch over our hearts and our minds. Guard us, protect us, deliver us from the evil one. Set every captive free.